Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. We're here in the Cleveland studio. We've got a new bottle of whiskey for you, a bottle of whiskey out of my pocket because I lost the Super Bowl bet. So I was bummed because you've already had this. I had never. We're doing Talisker Storm. It's a Scotch whiskey from the Isle of Skye in Scotland, made by the sea per their statement, and I like it a lot. It's very smooth. It definitely has, they say they wanted it to taste like the sea, and it does. It almost has a briny finish. It kind of reminds me of like Lagavulin without the peat and smoke, so that's definitely a strike against it.
So it's actually nothing like Lagavulin.
Well, but you know what I'm saying? It's still got that briny, this feels like I'm drinking something that was prepared near the ocean. But I gave it a 90.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. So I actually agree with you. I gave it a 90 as well, which
this was supposed to be so controversial. Like I was gonna,
yeah, and I guess I might have led you down the wrong road when I said that. It wasn't a favorite of mine.
Right.
I taste some peat. I taste some smoke,
but not nearly as much as an Islay.
Right, and some pepper. There's a little bit of spice in there, but there's nothing that really stands out.
Like
I definitely get the ocean. I get that, you know, that sea.
Briny is the best word.
Yeah. I guess it's more of kind of like a salt, I guess, but salt, brine, whatever. So that 90 is a solid score,
sure.
But I just think with Talisker, with some of their other offerings, their distillers edition, their 18-year, those are just really solid scotches, and I just had a lot of hopes for this. It came out a few years ago, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was a new offering for them, and when it did, there was a lot of excitement about it. It sold out pretty quickly, and then once I had it, I had a bottle, my dad had a bottle, and neither of us were really blown away by it. If we came across it, one of us, I think I came across another bottle and asked my dad if he wanted it. He's like, you can buy it for yourself if you want, but I'm good. So, because he actually never finished his original bottle of Talisker Storm.
Wow, okay.
Which isn't uncommon with my dad. I mean, he drinks scotch alone, so
right. He
doesn't go through nearly as much as, you know, you and I do. So it's not uncommon, and he's got a ton of bottles, so he doesn't go through it nearly
right.
as quickly.
So if he's got 6 bottles to choose from, and there's one that he's not crazy about.
6? My father has probably 48 different bottles to choose from.
Okay.
So
well, I was going to put that on.
Right. I'm just saying, so he doesn't finish a lot of bottles. Like, I mean, he just kind of goes around the world of scotch and bourbon. And, you know, I'm kind of a similar nature, but I drink at a faster pace than my father. So, but it gets a 90, a solid score. It's a good whiskey. For the price, it's not bad. I don't know.
$72, $75 a
yeah,
bottle.
Yeah, and I just feel for that amount of money, I can get a scotch that I enjoy a little bit more.
I agree with that.
If you have it, and if that's what you have, and you offer it to me, I'm not gonna pour it down the drain. You know, I'll drink it. So
we need to do some reviews of Johnny Walker Red and Jim Beam once, just to get some proper scale. We've had everything in the upper 80s to low 90s because we've been drinking really good whiskey.
Well, I think maybe proper scale, but I think part of the reason why this is important to people who consume whiskey is a lot of people have had Jim Beam, Jack Daniel's,
John
Walker Red,
that's
and they know that taste. And so when we talk about these scotches and these bourbons that are different, that people don't have, that you don't necessarily see every day, and I try to talk about some of the different flavor notes, it's my hope that we recruit people into the world of whiskey that aren't there. And then if they do, enjoy whiskey already, then hopefully we can give them, you know, something new to try. So
good point.
But we can definitely there. What I will say is that there, and I was telling you this the other day, and then you cut me off because you had a poker tournament. But
dude, they were literally giving me the rules to the tournament.
Right, and I'm like, I gotcha. They Jim Beam has some newer offerings out of their distillery, the Devil's Cut. There's a couple others, and they're standard Jim Beam, but they're a little stronger. They have a little bit more diversity in their flavor notes. I bought one, $23. I just bought one because I have my decanters,
right?
And I just wanted to put a decent scotch, but a decent bourbon.
Yeah.
I didn't want to keep the bottle around because, you know, I mean, I take pride in my display.
And you're right.
So I use that to go in the decanter for bourbon. I have a bourbon decanter and a scotch decanter.
You probably threw it in your neighbor's recycling, so no one would know it was in your...
I broke it. I ground it into sand. It's actually not bad. It's not nearly as sweet as typical Jim Beam, and it's actually not bad. So,
all right.
You know, maybe one day we'll grab a bottle of that
to
satisfy your desire to
bring it down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, Talisker Storm, matching scores of 90. We have to talk a little bit about what went on this week with the shooting in Florida. I don't think there's anything we can add in terms of the tragedy or the human story or the statistics. One thing that's bothering me about this, and I talked about it a little bit in my punchback against that Sean Whalen guy, is every time these things happen, everyone takes a side and they say, the problem is gun control, the problem is this. It's a complex fucking issue. And everyone just tries to say, well, here's why it's not the one thing I'm concerned about. Here's why it's mental health. Here's why it's bad parenting. Here's why it's, you know, lack of gun control laws. And everyone just stands by their post. And part of the reason nothing happens is because everyone says, until you budge on my issue, I'm not, you know, going to make progress on mine. And that's a huge societal problem on damn near every major divisive issue. And this is just a highlight of that.
It is. And I think one of the big talking points with this shooting is, obviously, this kid has issues. And I mean, I think that anytime you have a person walk into any place where there's other right. people and he starts mowing people down, that person has issues, right? I mean, yeah. like,
not normal human behavior.
Right.
Yes.
Let's just start there. Like, that's the bar. You have issues if you walk into a room and start shooting people and you're not being paid to do so and you're in the military.
Or defending yourself, yeah.
Right. So, one of the talking points, though, is that, you know, in early 2017, Donald Trump took and signed out of law.
There was a law in place.
Hold on.
All right.
What he did was he essentially rescinded a regulation that Obama had put into place, which made it more difficult for people with mental illness to obtain a firearm.
Correct.
That's the short and sweet of it. I think it's 20 CFR 4021, I believe, is the actual citation if you want to go look it up. And so Trump signs that out, basically out, pulls that out of the rotation of, you know, gun laws and gun regulations. And then he tweets that, you know, people with mental illness shouldn't be able to get their hands on guns, right? So, one, we don't know where this kid fell on the scale of mental illness. We know he was having some issues. We know that he was taken in by a family because I believe his mother
both of his parents had passed away.
Yeah, both his parents were gone. So he was dealing with some things, but we don't know how he obtained the rifle. We don't know where he got it. We don't know when he got it.
We do. He bought it 3 days after he was expelled from school.
Okay, I didn't know. And when I was thinking about this, that I wasn't privy to that information. And so, you know, that being said, when the initial reaction, well, you know, had Trump not done what he had done and repealed that law, well, we don't actually know if that would have had any impact on this at all. We don't know if this kid has had the type of mental health issues that would even register with what Obama had in place. We don't know.
True.
We have no idea to I have a pretty good feeling that it probably wouldn't have. If he's just being seen by a school counselor, you know,
the allegation that he was reported to the FBI by somebody based on something he posted on.
But
on a site.
There's a lot. I mean, but that's different than what that law that Trump took out, or that regulation, or whatever we call it.
It may or may not have done anything to prove
it. Well, not based off of a YouTube allegation. Like, well, they couldn't
If the FBI had investigated it and
well, they did investigate it. They said that they couldn't connect it to an actual user. Like, when you create a YouTube account or a Gmail account or a Google account, you can make up a name. I mean, people do it all the time. True. So we can't just go off of YouTube names and Google names as a way to start flagging people, right? I mean, it's a starting point. It's a starting point, but there's a lot of digging that has to go on, and there's a lot of forensic IT work that has to happen to figure out who the actual user is.
And the NRA goes nuts when you talk about things like this, and this is one of the few things that I understand their point. I mean, if anyone making an allegation can get you, have the police come to your house and take your firearms, that's a danger. I mean, you can say, I was in Jim's house, he was acting intoxicated and belligerent. I'm usually one or both of those things. And there was a gun right next to his hand, because there's that one on the wall right next to us right now. You'd be making truthful statements. And if the response of the law enforcement was to come here and confiscate my firearms, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? We did a podcast together. I was drinking and there's a gun from 1914 hanging on my wall.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It is a dangerous.
I understand it completely. And in the point that I've been trying to make for the last couple of days is that this is a complex issue, right? Because people will throw out that it should be harder to buy a gun than it is a car. Well, it's not easy to buy a gun. If you go to a store, if you go to a Cabela's, or if you go to a reputable dealer, but at the same time, you can also buy a gun from your neighbor. I can buy one of your guns, right? I could say, hey, Jim, I'm not feeling safe at home. I need to add one to the collection. You know, here's $500. Let me get the Beretta. You know, I mean,
$550.
Blow me. but that's how, I mean, and so that's why it's a complex issue, because there's a lot of assumptions that are being made. Like, people throw out these statements, and I get it. It's an emotional time, especially the people who were there.
Right.
The hardest thing to read for me are the students and the parents of the students who were actually at the school, who were in that community, who right now they are fueled by emotion and terror. You know, they're probably still scared. Those kids are young. You see a 17, 18-year-old kid, and you're like, oh, you young punk or whatever. But these kids are still young, impressionable, and fragile. And so they're still dealing with this. So their initial and their initial reaction, and their reaction, like you said, years after this, may be a very visceral response, like, hey, Congress, do something. Go take everybody's guns, because that sucked what just happened to me and us and my friends and our family and everything else. But for everyone else to just jump in and say, Congress, you need to do something. We need more gun laws, right? And we need mental health, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be that. My thing is, we have to go back, and we have to look at all these different mass shooting occurrences, and I think we need to look at the number of deaths that happen in urban inner city settings as well, gang violence, drug violence. We have to look at that gun violence as well, and we need to start to draw connections between them. Other than there's guns,
right?
And then we have to start to figure out and categorize. Now, I've said it on the show a number of times that I believe that the solution is probably ban manufacturers from making and selling, period. Right? That's what Mike Wood's solution is. But if we're not going to do that, right? And because I'm a realist, and realistically, that's probably not going to happen. So I think you almost have to go the complete other direction, and it's not necessarily the good guy with the gun stops the bad guy with the gun. But for these gun-free zones where people are intentionally targeting because they know that there's no one else there to stop them, it's not a bad idea to have someone.
The gun-free zone thing is useless, right? I mean, you're breaking the law if you carry a gun here.
For people wanting more gun laws, it's just like, all right, well, this is a gun-free zone. It is a law that you can't bring a gun here. And that law did nothing to stop this guy from walking on the campus with a gun and start shooting people. So the idea of more laws like that, because people who violate laws don't give a fuck about them, and laws are written on paper, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right? I mean,
you're charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder and bringing a gun into a gun-free zone.
Right. I mean, which does nothing for those 17 people right. that you killed or the additional people that you injured.
Or to bring justice. It's not like, you know.
It's not. So, one of the things that you see floating around is put, three armed veterans at every school and then it solves this problem. Maybe, maybe not.
I don't like that solution.
Well, I don't necessarily know does it have to be veterans?
I don't care if it's veterans. Putting armed
Okay. If you're not going to take guns away, right? I mean, here's the thing. You can't legislate away crazy, okay? You can't legislate it away. You can't, you say, we need to do all these things for mental health. Yes, we do. We should absolutely do those things, but some are still going to fall through the cracks. And some people just don't want to be caught. Some people don't want to be helped. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do bad things. And for those people who want to do bad things, maybe it's not a horrible idea to have someone who wants to stop people from doing bad things. That's why we have police. That's why we have the military. And so maybe we need to have more of some sort of element like that in these spaces that we deem precious, which are schools.
One other thing you see flying around all the time in these situations is all of these shooters were on some kind of an antidepressant or antipsychotic. And
I don't put a lot of credence into that.
Well, see,
because
I do.
Well, only because I don't know. I mean, it's thrown around. Someone's put it on multiple memes. That doesn't mean that it's true.
That doesn't mean it's true. That's fine.
I don't know. If it comes out, hey, this person has been prescribed psychotropic drugs and they all were on them. Okay, fine. But I just don't know if that's actually true. Because I saw it just today. There was a picture of 15 or 20 of these guys who had all gone on mass shooting sprees.
Right.
And, the claim is that they were all on psychotropic. Now, if it's true, there's maybe a link. Maybe.
I don't think there's, all right, let me say it this way. There's little doubt in my mind that something like that could contribute, because part of what those drugs do by design is dissociate you from your feelings. And the weird thing about these drugs is they do a long-term change to your brain chemistry. That's what they do by design. You've got something wrong in your head that makes you depressed, that makes you suicidal, that makes you unable to function the way you want to. And so they give you a drug to numb you from that. And for a guy who's worked for over 20 years in the pharmaceutical industry, I might sound like a hypocrite. I've never worked in that part of the industry. But when you see all the time, what's different between now and 20 years ago? We had guns 20 years ago. We didn't have mass shootings. We didn't have mass prescription massively prescribed numbers of people on antidepressants and antipsychotics 20 years ago. And we're having technical difficulties.
Keep going.
So,
yeah. Sorry.
So anyway, I don't know that the solution is simply to say if you are on those drugs, you can't have a gun, because there will be people who resist treatment to not lose that. I've known a few people who've been on antidepressants for long stretches of time and had candid conversations with them when they were on them and off them. And they definitely dissociate you to some degree. And when you combine them with, when you use them not as intended, for example, I have one friend who was on Prozac, and they tell you when you're on that, don't drink or drink very little. And he drank heavily, but stayed on Prozac. And most of the time he was happy as can be. Became financially ridiculously irresponsible, but
I think you can't. Everybody's different. Everybody's
true.
Body chemistry is different, and you can't necessarily.
How many people are screaming to their radios right now or their phones? Legalize pot right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, and maybe, but still, yes, all these things could help. Legalizing pot. Trying to prescribe, psychedelic or psychotropic drugs less, working with people with mental health issues, having some sort of a registry. But even with the registry, there's still issues with it, right? Because all it takes is, someone, like you said, to make a claim, it's the same issue that you have with people with felonies, right? Someone makes a false claim against them, or someone does something stupid. Martha Stewart has a felony, right?
Yes, she does.
Martha Stewart can never touch a gun in her life again, right?
She can't purchase. I don't know if there's. If
she can't touch one.
Is that right?
Can't touch it, right? So, the question is, in situations like that, which I don't think Martha Stewart wants to go shooting. I don't think she really gives a shit either way. But in terms of rights, and I can tie this back to saying we need to look at these different where we say we're banning someone for life if X, Y, and Z happen. I think we're a little too liberal with doing that, right? Especially when it comes to felonies and, for instance, voting, right?
Right.
You got a felony. Right. Oh, you can or you got to you got to do a little dance for however many years after you get out of jail to get the right to vote back. I think we need to look at certain things like that, and the same with guns. But again, this is a complex issue. It doesn't just get solved by saying we need more gun laws. What gun laws do we need specifically? And you have to be able to tell me what gun law would you have passed that would have prevented this instance from happening? All right. And then go back and say, okay, would that gun law, would that have stopped the one before it and the one before it? Right. And then if not, if it's different, then all right. So now we need a different law. So how many different laws do we need till we get to a point where, all right, fuck it. Just get rid of them, you know?
And this is exactly what I wanted to get out there. It's a complicated issue. And we as a culture are being so intellectually lazy when we stick to one possible solution and say, that's it. It's guns. That's it. It's mental health. I mean, if you're going to say it's a mental health issue, which clearly to a large degree that factors in. Okay. What are you doing about it? And just because someone else is saying, you know, take away the guns doesn't mean you get to stop with your attempt to prevent mentally ill people from, you know, committing crimes. And the whole, all right, we can go. I don't want to go down this road of the, you know, people. We're there.
We're already down the road.
I know, but I don't want to go, well, people will drive vans. And, okay, that's true, but it's not the same thing.
Well,
and,
I think that, I mean, you could make the, listen. People, one of the arguments against gun control is if you take guns away, people will just find another way. Okay.
And
okay, but
true,
here's,
but not,
you know what?
True, but not
hold
logical.
Hold on. Even if it is true, right? Which it is, but okay, fine. Find another way. I'm not, because I agree, you're not going to be able to stop crazy people. You can't legislate away crazy, right? Like, you can't legislate away crazy, but, and I don't think you can legislate away the violence in football. But,
and you can't drive a van into a school and run over people.
But you can do that, right? Like, you
into a school building. I mean, you can hit the outside of the building.
I mean, right? you could run, like, while they're outside playing, going into school. There's any ways you could do. But here's my thing. Make them, right? I mean, a gun is so, it's easy.
Really easy.
All right, a gun is really easy, right? Now there's gun nuts out there. Oh, weapons are very complex. No, you spend 15 minutes with a gun, you can figure out safety on, safety off, pull the trigger, right? You can figure that out, and you can kill a lot of people with one magazine, right? If you have a magazine that holds, it only holds 10. All right, you can kill 10 people, right? So if you take those away. And people find another way, whether they use knives or bombs or there's a lot more that goes into it. I'd rather have to deal with someone crazy asshole wielding a knife. I like my chances with some crazy guy wielding a knife than I do with someone with a gun.
Yeah,
I'm not a SEAL. I'm not a Navy SEAL. I'm not a Green Beret. So I like my chances with guy with knife as opposed to guy with gun better.
Right. I mean, it's just one of those arguments that gets thrown out there all the time, and it. Again, your statement is true, but irrelevant to a rational argument.
But no, actually, it is very relevant. Like, yes, your statement is true, so make them work harder to kill people.
All right.
That's the rebuttal.
I'm saying that you shouldn't. The statement that's dumb is, if you take away guns, you haven't solved anything because there are other means to kill people. Okay, but guns make it really fucking easy.
Right. And so we're kind of saying the same thing. But all I'm saying is, fine, take them away. Make them find harder ways to kill people,
or better yet, hopefully
or at least give people a chance to defend themselves, right? And they say bombs and everything else, and you know, I mean, here's the thing with cars: like, you know, pay attention to what's going on around you.
what do you mean?
I'm just saying, when you're outside, pay attention.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were
the fuck out of the way.
Yeah. All right. I mean, again, there's nothing we can do about this. I just wanted to spend some time saying that one of the things that is killing this. Argument and hurting this country is the lack of intellectual depth. It's all very intellectually superficial, and we never make any progress because people just plant their flag in the ground and say, until you move yours, I'm not moving mine, and we need to work together to do this. I'll start singing Kumbaya
don't,
soon.
Don't.
That's probably good for everyone if I don't. All right, so we talked last week about the pending debut of Black Panther.
It happened.
And now black kids are running around punching people in the face and causing violent acts everywhere.
What?
So I've read on Twitter that was proven to be completely untrue. Have you seen any of these?
Yeah.
It's fucked up. When you get down to it, it's a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's really trolling pretty much almost at its worst. There's everything from people that are just lying, saying that it's happening when it's not happening, to people actually putting up fake pictures, pictures from other events where people have been beaten up or bloodied. Or, you know, there was one instance where the picture was photoshopped.
Did you see the one of Rob Porter's ex-wife?
Yeah.
That's shitty, but that made me laugh. I'm sorry.
You know, maybe a little soon on that one. But it's... Unfortunately, it's to be expected. If you were in the, you know, kind of black comic book, you know, Twitter subculture, this actually came up.
Which I am not, but...
Right, well, obviously, but this very thing actually came up. There was a thread of tweets where people were talking about different things to worry about. And one of the concerns was, it started with... people from DC Comics giving Black Panther bad reviews on Rotten Tomatoes to bring the scores down, right?
Now because that happens because they're Marvel fans?
Well, because they're DC fans, right? Like, so they're DC comic fans. So the DC comic fans go to the Marvel.
It's
a Marvel movie, so they say, all right, let's give it one star or one Rotten Tomato, and that'll help bring the ratings down, and ha, we got you. So it started there with that discussion, and because then it turned into, oh, it's racist. Like, no, it's just, that's how comic book nerds are. The extreme ones are just kind of assholes across the board. They don't discriminate with their assholery. They did it with Iron Man, but Marvel people aren't any better. They did it to the Dark Knight. And now, with the amount of attention that this movie is getting, DC, the basement dwellers, or this is how they're going to get their revenge. And it escalated to other things people would do to try to sabotage this movie. And this was one of the topics that came up, you know, pretending that violence is breaking out when it really isn't. Harkening back to when movies like New Jack City and Boys in the Hood came out and there were gang shootings and violence and things like that. That was real. That was real because, I mean, those movies came out in a time where drug and gang violence, I mean, not that it's gone down at all, which it has.
Actually, it has gone down.
But that was real. But, you know, the concern was people would say that that was going on to keep people from going to the theater, which would then, again, hurt the box office numbers of the movie.
You know, Boys in the Hood and New Jack City were, from my perspective, and I don't think I'm wrong about this, were really the first two movies that were like major productions, major, you know, front row Hollywood movies that really revolved around modern black issues. Right? Okay. I mean,
it's kind of a narrow.
I'm looking at the history of Hollywood and black culture. We've talked about this before on other shows.
They were, I guess, dramas, but, I mean, you had Shaft and...
Was not that mainstream. Shaft was not, you know, the...
I don't know. I wasn't born. So it's hard, but... Right. I mean, like, but, I don't know if it wasn't mainstream. It's very well known now, so I can't gauge... I don't know the production numbers. I can't go back and say...
There was,
to your point, I don't know if that's accurate or true. Because it's hard to gauge after the fact when you weren't there. You can't just look at the numbers.
And that came out, those movies came out in my young adulthood. I think New Jack came out when I was 17 or something, and Boys in the Hood maybe a year later. I could have them in the wrong order. But roughly around that time. So
I agree. I mean,
maybe it's my perspective and not and my history of filmography may be off. But those movies pissed off a lot of white people. In those days, I mean, a lot of people were upset that why are they making these movies for these, you know? And I'm like, it doesn't hurt you. That was my whole thing with people going nuts about Black Panther. I mean, Ben Shapiro went on a 20-minute rant on his episode about how Black Panther was sending the wrong message and whatever. It's like, dude, it's a fucking movie. Relax. If you're worried about this being overhyped, why are you ranting for 20 minutes about Wakanda.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, some of the people, you know, people getting so upset by this. First of all, it is a part of a comic book universe. It's a comic book. I just don't understand, but I get it, right? I mean, Ben Shapiro can sit here and scream, I'm not racist, until he's black in the face. But what else is your reasoning, right? Like, I mean, how upset did you get over Passion of the Christ, right? Christian people lost their minds over that movie, right? I mean, like,
that was a really powerful movie. I've seen it.
Okay. I'm not saying, but even before people even saw it, Christians were lining up in droves to go see it. I mean, I know people who never go to the theater and think that all movies are sins and blah, 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 blah. Like, those people were lining up and going to the theater to see this movie, right? And I don't, you know, I mean, I actually looked, and there was no sign of Ben Shapiro, having anything to say about that. But he's young.
Yeah, he's too young. He's relatively young,
so he may be too young. But they're making a Passion of the Christ too. I heard about this,
and I don't know how.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? What am I talking about? The movie ends with the crucifixion and the resurrection.
No, the movie ends with the crucifixion.
Okay, and they hint at the resurrection.
They hint at the resurrection. So then there's the time that
all right.
the time that he was all down. Right. Then they all do right. the resurrection.
All right,
they just made a movie about. I mean, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is 7 hours long, and it's talking about the last 3 hours of his life. So I'm pretty sure that they can figure out how to make another 7 hour long movie about, you know, the 3 days after he was crucified and then when he ascends to heaven.
So, all right. So a friend of the show, Bill Squire, talked about Black Panther today and said it was really good. So it's getting positive reviews. And I need to throw a shout out.
Bill Squire gave it a positive.
I need to throw a shout out to Bill, though. He put out a new album on iTunes, and it is the number one ranked comedy album. So good for him.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So anyway, congrats, Bill.
And he's been on our show.
And it's his birthday today.
Nice.
So,
well, happy birthday, so, Billy.
Bill Squire love going
on. By the time he hears this,
it won't be his birthday anymore. But right. But anyway, I wanted to throw out the thing that he has the number one iTunes comedy album at this moment. So good for him.
Good job.
All right.
We should have him back on the show.
We should. Do we want to do any more Black Panther talk?
Well, no, I think I'm good. I'm not going to see it. Actually, in your call out to Ben Shapiro, you had made the assumption that I was going to see
correct.
It. I'm actually not going to see it this weekend.
Okay.
There's just so much hype over it.
And you've got so much going
on. I've got
too.
A lot going on this weekend. We have the March of Dimes fundraiser at the Browns facility. I'm not going to be able to fit it in.
But okay.
It's
on your to-do list, though.
Well, I'm going to see it next week, actually, with my mom. She's going to drive up. But part of my reason is just, one, like, I there's going to be a ton of people in the theater, and I'm a little bit nervous about it, only because this is a movie where you're going to have a lot of Black people that are going to go see it. Right now, I've made the argument that Black people shouldn't be pinning their hopes and dreams on this movie. It is a major production. It is getting a lot of hype. But understand, like, whether it's Ben Shapiro or, you know, even Karen Hunter on Sirius, you know, they're putting so much energy into this. Like, guys, this is a fucking comic book movie.
No.
Well, yes, but this is Marvel. This is what they do. They did this for Civil War. They're doing this for the Infinity Wars. They did it for Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. This is they did it for Guardians of the Galaxy. This is what they do. They have figured out the hype machine of these movies, and they have it down to a science. Like, let's not, you know, it's not like this is some independent filmmaker that just got a lot of money. Like, this is Marvel. This is what they do.
Kevin Smith and Clerks.
Like, and this movie, the reason why is that this movie is critical. Black Panther and Wakanda is critical in the Infinity Wars, right? Part of what this movie is about is vibranium. Vibranium is this false metal element.
Okay.
It came from a meteor that hit the planet, and it landed in Wakanda, and they've been secretly using it and, you know, creating technology and different uses for it over the last, you know, however many years. And it's given them all these technological advances. Just nobody knew about it. And so this Wakanda and Black Panther and everything about it will be critical going forward in the Marvel Universe.
In the larger storyline, okay.
Right.
I'll let you go on your roll there. I can't contribute to any of it.
Okay, well, don't be a dismissive prick.
I'm not being a prick.
You are being
It's kind of like, okay, with your comic book stuff. Okay. All right, thank you. All right.
Don't get defensive.
I'm not being defensive. You're being defensive. You want to roll back the tape?
Because I don't think you'll be very proud of yourself. People can chime in and say,
I don't think you would be very proud of yourself.
I invite people to comment on that.
Call your mother.
I'm going to West Virginia. My mom turned 70 this weekend.
Happy birthday.
I'll see you on Sunday. All right.
We're going to release on Sunday, so it's like, hey, yeah, I'm here.
See, that works out. We screwed up Bill's birthday for timing, but my mom will get to
Mom's listen. Good.
All right. Did you catch the Laura Ingraham, LeBron James, Kevin Durant thing?
I did.
I love it because I love Laura Ingraham for being a complete knucklehead. She's so here's what I used to listen to her. Actually, I used to actually kind of respect Laura Ingraham. Long time ago, she was actually, in my opinion,
lawyer, former speechwriter for Reagan.
Right.
And I don't think she's ever done anything. Actually, I don't know if she's ever been a practicing lawyer, but I know she's spent a lot of her time in journalism. She was a speechwriter for a little bit for Reagan. She has an adopted daughter who's Guatemalan.
I did not know that.
And then she adopted two Russian children. So it's kind of a weird mix in that house. But,
all right.
But so there's that.
I listened to her literally pre 2001, and she had a radio show. And I didn't agree with her on a whole lot of things, but I thought she was at least bound to some level of decency and logic. And then I think she realized there's a whole lot more money going Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh than there is trying to be the voice of reason. And so she basically told – so LeBron James basically said a visit to the White House if you win a championship is no longer an honor or something to that effect. He's made it very clear he's not a fan of the president. And Laura Ingraham basically tried to say he's a dumb guy who – I don't know if she said he left high school early or tried to leave high school
early. She said he tried to leave high school early to go play basketball.
Which I don't know there's any truth to that.
There's not.
Okay. And, whatever.
I think she might have been confusing him with Maurice Clarett.
Who tried to leave college early.
Who tried to leave college early. And, Adrian Peterson.
I wonder if that's the case.
Literally just confusing her black guys from Ohio.
Yeah, fair enough. So anyway, she said all that stuff. Let me ask you for a raw reaction because I found it to be... So she said, shut up and dribble, which is a play on her book, Shut Up and Sing, which is something she said to Bruce Springsteen when she went to a concert and Bruce Springsteen was, or someone else yelled at Bruce Springsteen when he was making a political rant. And what are your thoughts on this before I...
So my thoughts on it are this, but without knowing, so I knew that she had the book, Shut Up and Sing, and I knew what the book was about. And so when I heard the Shut Up and Dribble part of it, I was like, okay, that is not going to go well. But I think there's some racial undertones there. Now, I can make an argument that she didn't sit there and say, LeBron James, you fucking nigger, I'm going to show you on my show. No, I don't think she thought that. I think she went through the thought process of athlete, noted in her mind that he's black, but that part didn't stand out. And she chose to attack him because he's an easy target, because she looks at him. I think she looks at him as a complete package, black athlete, superstar.
Didn't go to college.
Is uneducated.
Right.
And so he obviously has liberal views because he doesn't agree with Trump. And anyone who doesn't agree with Trump either propagates fake news or is an idiot and doesn't know politics or is an American, blah, 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 all that shit. So I think when you combine all of it and she goes out there, she tries to make the play on her book while attacking LeBron and, not to mention Kevin Durant was in the car as well. And they both were kind of agreeing that, listen, it's
bringing LeBron and KD together. That's almost impressive.
Why?
Just their competitors on the court, so.
You know nothing of the NBA, right?
I know a lot about the NBA.
Okay, so
they like each other. I know they like each other.
All these guys.
I know they like each other. I was making a joke.
God, you're so bad at that.
I am not.
You
want to play rough? Okay. Let's rewind the tape and see what you said.
Don't need to. You're bad at telling jokes.
I am not bad at telling jokes. I'm going to put my last set at the end of this show.
Not on our show.
To be
start your own YouTube channel.
I might. You know what? That's I didn't get video.
But so I think she took all of her, like, everything. She looked at him as an athlete, a black athlete, a really rich athlete who didn't go to college, and, you know, who is famous. And she targeted him and KD and, you know, hey, no one voted for you. Shut up and dribble and
right.
whatever. Here's a play on my book. Now, I sit there and I try to think through things objectively. Is Laura Ingraham a racist? Probably, kind of, sort of, not. I don't know. Because I think that phrase gets thrown around. I think she is an opportunist. I think she is well aware of the climate and well aware of her bank account.
I was like, this is a ratings chase, right?
Right. It's about chasing ratings. She's on Fox News. This is what they do. So, you know, a lot of people are throwing the race card out there. A lot of people are getting really upset about it. I think it was an ignorant statement. I think because there were racial undertones. But I think more, I think that's the big part. That's the big takeaway. But I think there's some other aspects of it, too. We've heard Steve Kerr. We've heard Greg Popovich speak out directly at the president and call him a moron and say he was, you know, disgracing the office and he's racist and blah, right. blah, 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 blah. And we hear nothing from Sean Hannity. We hear nothing from Laura Ingraham about those guys. And it's easy to say, well, if you're going to criticize LeBron because he's saying, listen, I don't feel it's an honor to go to the White House anymore because I don't respect the president, but you're not going to come out against Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich. And Greg Popovich is one of the most famous coaches besides Bill Belichick in the world.
I don't know that she didn't criticize Popovich.
She didn't.
Okay, I didn't.
She didn't. So I don't even know. And here's the other thing. I don't even know if she knows who he is. It's not like Laura Ingraham knows fucking sports.
She probably thinks he's Larry Bird if she thinks Maurice Clarence.
I mean, if anything, you know, I mean, it's not like she's a, you know, she's not all that sports savvy. So am I patently offended by what she said? No, because it's par for the course. And I think that LeBron James put himself out there. He made the statement. He used his own platform to put it out there. For public consumption, he was criticizing one person, and so he therefore opened himself up to criticism. Laura Ingraham didn't agree with him, so she attacked him, she criticized him, she used the dog whistles, she used the undertones. She's dealing with the feedback, but I think she's using that because how many people have looked at that clip, have looked up Laura Ingraham, it's blown her up. So there's a method to her madness.
Call it a good move on her part. But the one thing I want to say is all the people who say LeBron James shouldn't be contributing to a political discussion, you know, or KD or whoever. Why not? First of all, they were being interviewed and asked a question.
Right.
I mean, he did tweet and call Trump a bum a while ago. But regardless,
Trump attacked Obama all the time, right?
Private citizen, as a fucking reality show host.
Right. As a reality show host. And I mean, he made a lot of money on real estate. Well, LeBron owns real estate.
I would bet LeBron's worth more than Trump right now. I would bet on that.
I don't know.
I would bet on that. I'm not saying I know. That's why it's a bet.
I would take that bet only because I don't think Trump is worth $20 billion, $12, $10. I don't think he's worth. I think he's probably worth $1.5 to $2 billion.
And is LeBron? He's got to be close to that.
Well, it's tricky with LeBron.
$1 billion is so fucking much. It's a crazy amount of money.
Right. I mean, even if that is what Trump is worth, like, fuck.
Only I'll 1 take, billion, right?
Right. I mean, I'll take 1% of that and be very A-okay. But
I object to people who say, if you don't.
Well, I object to it, too, only because we're all citizens.
Right.
And politics impacts us all.
He belongs in politics way more than Laura Ingraham belongs in sports.
Well, yes. Okay, fine. But every citizen is a part of this political environment that we live in.
Right.
Right. The president, his decisions impact us all. His decisions to go to war, to not go to war, to raise taxes, to lower taxes. It impacts every single one of us, whether we like it or not, whether we like the president or not. There's an impact. Now, it may not directly impact you where, you know, the president comes to your house and says, hey, you know, how's this impacting you? But there is an impact, every citizen. So I'll never disparage anyone from having this conversation. Now, some people know more than others. That's obvious. That's with any topic. That's within any situation. But this idea that, oh, well, because you're an athlete or because you're an entertainer, just shut up and do your job. Well, Laura Ingraham, guess actually, that's all you are as an entertainer.
Right.
That's all you are as an entertainer. Right? Like, you aren't, like, you're not a journalist. Like, she, and she will tell you that she's not a journalist. So if you're not a journalist and you're on TV, then you yourself are just an entertainer. And so what exactly are your credentials to sit here and tell me who I should and should not listen to when it comes to politics?
I'm with you. I think, again,
she was a speechwriter for Reagan. I will give her that.
Good. Good for you. She's more politically, and she's been a radio show host and a personality for a long time.
But she's just been an entertainer all that time. Yeah. Who's talked about politics?
Right.
Oh, well, I was in Washington, I talk politics with other people. Like, okay, so you talk politics with people all the time, but again,
we talk politics.
You and I talk politics. So why do you have more authority? Because you have more people who watch you? Is that it? I mean, which I guess technically,
that is exactly it.
Actually, that is it. Damn it! Damn it!
Fuck. All right.
Well, I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad we weren't on her show.
Having kicking our own like, ass. And shit, you win. But realistically, the idea that, well, entertainers shouldn't be doing this, you're right. If you believe that, then you shouldn't, and Sean Hannity shouldn't, and Keith Olbermann shouldn't. I mean, whatever.
She actually dated Keith Olbermann.
What?
Laura Ingraham dated Keith Olbermann.
That had to be an awesome dinner conversation.
I don't know. I don't know how they...
that is awesome.
I don't know how they talk. Feels like they would create a hurricane.
If I say what's on my mind right now, nothing good will come of... what happened of Olbermann and Coulter Ingraham after dark. Let's just put that out there.
Or the Olbermann Coulter Ingraham threesome. That sounds
see, that's where I didn't want to go.
Stale.
I didn't want to go. Actually, really sterile. It doesn't sound that good, actually.
Sounds like steel on steel. Sharpening knives.
Anyway, it is fuck. It is so anyway, NBA All-Star Weekend. We want to talk sports for a minute because the Cavs have turn things at least in a different direction. Seems like the right direction. The NBA, I heard today that the NBA All-Star tickets are the most expensive they've ever been.
Well, it's so all this, but it's in LA.
It is that, and that is, it has a huge impact because there's a lot of money floating around LA. And it's, I mean, really the biggest sport in Los Angeles is basketball.
Right.
I mean, baseball, you have the Dodgers can compete a little bit. There's two NFL teams there now that I don't think we'll be there in 10 years, but that's just my opinion.
I don't know if they should buy 10.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that will...
Chargers are playing in a high school soccer stadium. It's
what, 30,000 seats or something? It's something ridiculous. I mean, they're building something, but we're getting off topic. But I don't see either of those teams lasting long term.
Maybe the Rams. I mean, listen, if the Rams are good...
I don't think it matters.
I think it does. It helps. Like, I mean, everybody, you know, L.A.
Sure. If you put the Browns in L.A., they would fail faster then.
But, I mean, everyone likes a winner. And so you got a solid team. You got a good quarterback. You got, you know, Todd Gurley is amazing. And so you get those two. Maybe you get an explosive wide receiver out there,
you've been there. I've been there. They just really
don't care. There's so much shit going on.
And they don't care about... It's all about being seen, and you don't get seen at a football game.
Right. Everyone out there is trying to get famous, but that's not true. That's not true that you don't get seen at a football game. That's not true.
All right.
There are people who do get seen, that who, you know, make it up in the luxury boxes and things like that. You know, I still remember when the Vikings were in the playoffs a few years ago, when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt and Prince was in the box. And you know, they showed him. So that's sort of a thing. Oh, Purple Rain. Thinking of movies with black people in them.
All right.
In the 80s.
That was before. Right. That was 86 or so.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even before that. Cause
yeah, it might've been like 84, 83. But that was a massive popular musician. I mean, they don't make Purple Rain with Wesley Snipes in 19.
No, okay, okay, but fine. I mean, he was still a massive star who was black, and most of the cast was black.
Yeah.
Or like,
and it told a story.
They were all like light skinned black.
It told a story about a black family or a black. It was a black.
There
feature.
Were movies. I mean, right. like we. This is where I think it's important to not. Like twist history, there were movies. I mean, like The Color Purple, right?
Okay,
like,
all right, yeah.
You know, I mean, like Roots. I mean, like they, I mean, no, these are. I mean, you know, I mean, those are slave movies or whatever. But let's not. Black people have had a place in cinema for the last 60 years. You know, like we've had a major black star in every decade that we've really been paying attention to movies, and since the Grammys have been there, you know, I mean, so while one isn't enough, like let's not, like, it's important, especially, you know, it's Black History Month. Listen, it's important to recognize that this isn't like us, like all of a sudden, okay, now we're here. Like we've been here. We've been here. We've been in movies. The movies have been big. The movies have been good. They've been acknowledged. You know, lately people want to get pissed and oh, there's too much attention being paid to black movie or whatever. Like, well, you're only doing this because it's black. No, they're doing it because it's a Marvel movie, right? Whether it's Black Panther or White Panther or, you know, Black Storm or White Storm or whatever, Marvel is going to do what Marvel does. They promote movies and they get people hyped up to watch them and people go. I mean, that's just the numbers tell us that. So, I mean,
my whole point of this is any white person who's acting like this is, you know, an attempt to be racially divisive, only if you choose to make it that way.
On the other side of it, like some of the white people that are, you know, progressive and, you know, black friendly or whatever, they can tone it down too.
I mean, there was
a woman on Twitter who said she didn't buy a ticket to go see it because she didn't want to ruin black people's joy.
Like, I heard that maybe that's where the term "black joy" came in on, like, Ben Shapiro's
what?
Thing.
Like what? What? Like this is the thing that's gonna give my life meaning because there's a movie being made on a massive scale about a black about an African country that doesn't exist, by the way. Right.
And the stupidity of that is. And if I have to watch that and see a white person enjoying it too, that ruins everything.
Right, because, like, I mean, it's just like, if there's one white person in there enjoying it, then that's one less black person who can enjoy it. Like, the thought process here is insane. Right? And even if that's
true, they're not restricting tickets.
Even if that's true, like, they can go to another theater. They can go to a later show. They can go, like, it's not like, I mean, pretty soon the movie's going to be on DVD. We'll all get to see it. So, I don't know. I mean, I think on both sides of the aisle, people are taking it a little too far.
Way too fucking seriously.
It's frustrating for me because this is something that I've been really excited about for a long time, right? Because I've known it was coming.
I remember talking to you about it.
Like, I mean, I knew that it was coming based off the, you know, the rumblings and the whisperings. It's just like, oh my God, they're actually really going to do it, right? Now, there's some certain things that I was a little bit disappointed with, you know, Chadwick Boseman being the star. And the only reason I'm disappointed in it is because up until, like, again, I've made this point before, like, he's apparently the only black person who can be a black person in movies, right? Over, you know, it, like, we're in that window where he's just all black people important for the next, like, for, like, this span of 5 years. But other than that, it was something that I was really excited about because it's a comic book that I read, and I read Iron Man. I also read Batman. I also read Superman. And so... watching these things come to life. Like, I was also really excited about the Ninja Turtles being a real movie, right? Again. So it sucks because this thing that I'm excited about from my childhood, just from the pureness of it, is being politicized. And I can't stand people on either side of it, right? Like, the black people who knew dick about Wakanda before this, who are saying, I am Wakanda. Like, bitch, are you fucking kidding me?
Is I am Wakanda a hashtag?
People are saying, I am Wakanda. Before Wakanda, after Wakanda, I am Wakanda. Like, it's really dramatic, and it's just like, holy shit, no the fuck you're not, because you couldn't even fucking spell it before a month ago. So, I don't know. That's my feelings on it.
All right.
Supporting in on my shit. You know, now I feel like one of those annoying fucking hipsters who, you know, like they hear an artist before
Black
he was popular.
Panther before it was cool.
Yeah, damn it. Now I'm one of those guys. Fuck.
I'm gonna go homebrew later. So I was a hipster before it was cool to be a hipster.
Yeah. I got to drive to Lakewood and go punch a hipster, make myself feel better.
And then he'll put something on because of Black Panther. I got punched by a black guy. Way to go, Steve.
No, he'll be a hipster. So I'll just tell him. Like,
okay.
You're damn right this is because of Black Panther, and you just sit there and take that shit. You owe me this.
All right. Before we go, we've talked about the Russia investigation a bunch of times, and we've said, you know, it's not, nothing is happening. Well, not
what's
happening. What?
Damn it. See, you already brought it up. I was going to say we should have punted on this.
All right, we'll do it real quick. 13 indictments today. Russians. All Russian nationals living in the United States. Steve Bannon spent 20 hours with Mueller, but not with either of the House or Senate subcommittees. Shit might be about to get interesting. I'll leave it at that because nothing dramatic has happened yet. Oh, and President Trump did say this proves there was no collusion.
Had to slide him in there.
Convenient how that's stuck in there. All right, you want to just call it a...
Well, and by the way, AJ McCarron, unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
So the Browns may have a shot at a unproven, possibly average, maybe decent quarterback.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. We don't even have to talk about it. I don't mind talking about football for a little bit because I think that is... I've never seen him do anything since college, so I don't know... You know what would make him.
Truthfully,
so
he actually almost beat the Steelers in a playoff game a couple years ago. But
that's right. That's right. Dalton was hurt, and he had to.
Yeah, Dalton was hurt. Dalton broke his hand actually in that game. McCarron came in, played pretty well, but they ended up.
I didn't think much about McCarron coming out of college, though. I mean, he played for a great team. He won games, but I didn't think.
Yeah, which is the knock on Alabama quarterbacks, right? Like, right. Well, you played for Saban, so. You know, they get drafted in the middle rounds, they get stashed, and maybe they get a shot, maybe they don't, you know.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I mean, he's got decent size. I think he's – I watching him play against the Steelers, I don't see anything horrible about him. He made a lot of good decisions. He didn't, you know, turn the ball over. I mean, he did have an interception in that game, if I remember, but I'm pretty sure it was a tip – where his receiver tipped the ball up in the air and it got picked off.
All right.
But I mean, listen, AJ McCarron. Listen, we can do a side sports show at some point. But,
right.
A lot of people in Cleveland don't like AJ McCarron, and I think because Hugh Jackson coached down in Cincinnati, Hugh Jackson likes AJ McCarron. Hugh Jackson is a terrible coach. He went 0-16. His record's 1-31. In the last 2 years. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, if Hugh Jackson likes it, I don't like it. You know, it's more of a spite.
Okay, you're speaking the mind of the Browns fan. Okay, because I don't think Hugh Jackson's a terrible coach. I think he's...
He is not a good coach.
I'm
He's not a good coach. The Browns... because
1-31 is
high. A better coach, a slightly better coach, the Browns win 3 games this year. I mean, Hugh Jackson was... You know, like a decent, like, listen, Pat Shurmur is not a good coach. And he had a better record with the Browns than, you know, than Hugh Jackson. And you can say he didn't have much more to work with. You know, pretty much every coach over the last, you know.
10 years, 12 years?
Yeah, however long. I mean, like, oh, it's hard to go 0-16. Do you think Rob Marinelli's a good coach?
No.
No. He should be a coordinator, right?
Sure.
Hugh Jackson should be a coordinator. Shouldn't be a head coach.
All right. I'm withholding judgment, and I know I wouldn't say that in a Cleveland.
Why are you withholding judgment?
Because I think because they tore the team down to give it.
Pause.
To
if this were the Bills, 1-31, and they brought the coach back, we both know you wouldn't be here because you would have already had a stroke, massive stroke.
Thank you for listening to Whiskey Congress. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. We're www.whiskeycongress.com. We got some YouTube videos out. We've got. We'll have another
we're streaming
before
Facebook
next week.
Live now, but by the time Facebook, you hear this, right. If you so haven't or if you weren't watching it,
and this will be on YouTube for you to listen to if you or to watch if you want to do that. So anyway, Stephen, fun drinking another whiskey with you.
Absolutely,
let's call it a day.
All right,
that's my new bailout.